How many have seen the movie F1? Can I see your hands? How many have seen it yet? How many women have seen the movie? Let me see your hands. Okay. How many women saw it because Brad Pitt was in it? You didn't care what it was about, but Brad Pitt's Brad Pitt. So I went and saw the movie, and I really liked it. The storyline is about a Formula One racer who is on his way up. I mean, he's going to be the next big thing. And then he has a major crash, and after that crash, he disappears and stops racing Formula One. And then years later, he's invited back in. He comes back and breaks all expectations and ends up winning his first Formula One race. And the reason I liked it is because I'm a sucker for a comeback story. When someone has had a setback, a major setback, and yet that person makes a comeback, I'm on my way back. Say it with me. I'm on my way back. For the next few moments, I want to talk to you about one of the great comeback stories we find in the Bible. It's the comeback story of Moses. And his story starts off in the wilderness when he is being a shepherd, watching sheep, herding sheep, counting sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then one day as he's counting sheep, something shows up that catches him off guard. He had seen burning bushes before, but not one like this. It burned, but it didn't burn up. And that's when we read in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 3, we read that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. It did not burn up. And this encounter would reignite something in the heart of Moses. There was a time in his life where he had a dream to lead his people, 2 million people, out of slavery and into freedom, but that was a long time ago. And that dream was no longer vibrant. It was a tiny spark. But this encounter with the burning bush takes that spark and turns it into a fire and turns that fire into a raging flame. And what if this weekend God brought you here to get your attention? God knows how to get your attention. Even if it takes a burning bush, God knows how to get your attention. But he brought you here to get your attention, to take that spark and create a fire, to take the fire, turn it into a flame, that even though you've had a setback in your life, that you can indeed make a comeback, that it is time to dream again. I'm on my way back. Say it with me. I'm on my way back. Now, that's what happens to Moses. But as we're going to see in Exodus 3 and 4, it doesn't happen right off the bat. Instead, Moses does this right up here. He digs in his heels. Have you ever done that? You dig in your heels. And so Moses is called by God to dream again. Moses digs in his heels, and we see this back and forth between God and Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Let's walk through it together. The first question Moses has is, who am I? Who am I? God says to Moses, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. So I have come down to rescue them. And then God continues. Can we go to the next scripture? Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. And then Moses says to God in the next scripture, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Who am I? God says, I want you to dream again. This is going to be your mission. This is going to be your assignment. And Moses feels inadequate. Anybody else ever been there? I know what it's like to feel inadequate. And maybe I'm not the only one. I was reading about Tom Hanks. And even though he's won Academy Awards and he's been in over 70 films and TV shows, he was talking about struggling and doubting himself and his own abilities. He says in this interview, it's a high wire act that we all walk. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, there comes a point where you think, how did I get here? When are they going to discover that I am in fact a fraud and take everything away from me? That's Tom Hanks. Psychologists refer to this as the imposter's syndrome. That at some point, even though there's plenty of evidence to the contrary, a person doubts their own ability and fears that one day they will be exposed as a fraud. Now, in a sense, you could say that Moses was the most qualified person on the planet for this mission. He had spent his first 40 years growing up as a prince in the household of the king of Egypt. He had spent the next 40 years learning to be a shepherd, lessons there that would serve him well in shepherding people. His whole life had been leading up to this moment. And yet, notice very carefully that God doesn't go on to list Moses' qualifications. It seems that to God, the best ability is availability. God says to Moses, I will be with you. Say that with me. I will be with you. The most important point to remember when you need to bounce back is not who you are, but whose you are. And that if God is with you and for you, it doesn't matter who or what is against you. His presence is what brings strength. His presence is what brings courage. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. So a few weeks ago, I had the chance to take my three grandkids to the happiest place on earth. We were there for 3 days. It took me a month to recover from those 3 days. I think we walked 36 miles in those 3 days. You can see a picture of my feet right up here. It was not a pretty sight. I had to take out a second mortgage on my home. It wasn't cheap, but it was a blast. It was worth it. We had so much fun. And especially my grandson, my middle grandson, Chase, he's 7 years old, and it's that magical age where everything's exciting. And he was finally tall enough to go on all the big rides, and so he wanted to go on them all. So there we stood getting ready to go on the Incredicoaster. Now, if you've never been on that, it goes 55 miles an hour, it's over a mile long, and it's got an inverted circle. You better hold on to your hat. And as you can imagine, Chase was nervous. He was a bit nervous. It was intimidating. But we went on that roller coaster hand in hand, and that's what gave him the courage, knowing that he was not alone. How do you face an intimidating situation? The best thing to do is take your hand and put it in the hand of God and know that God is with you. And because of God, you are more than adequate. You really are. That when you know He is with you as a team, you're simply invincible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 reads this way. Not that we are adequate in ourselves, but our adequacy is from where? Where's our adequacy from? God. Let me ask you one more time. Where's our adequacy from? God. It's from God. In fact, the Cathedral Challenge for the week, on your way out, you're going to receive one of these little Formula One cards. And on one side's a picture of a car, but on the other side are several declarations. And I would encourage you to get up in the morning and declare this over your life. In fact, let's go ahead and practice even now. Can we say these declarations together? Everyone, because of God, I am blessed. Because of God, I am capable. Because of God, I am gifted. Because of God, I have strength. Because of God, I have resources. Because of God, I have creativity. Because of God, I am confident. Because of God, I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I'm on my way back. Say it with me. I'm on my way back. Now, Moses has another question. You'd think that this answer would be enough, but he continues to drag his feet. And so he asks the question, who are you? We read Moses says in Exodus chapter 3, he says, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? The first question is, who am I? The second question is, who are you? And when he asks about the name of God, he's really asking about his nature, because God's names reveal his nature. He's asking God, what are you like? What are you like? And I wonder, was he really asking for the people, or was he asking for himself? Only Moses knows for sure. But it seems to me that there is nothing more important in a person's life than their vision of God. There's nothing more important. If your God is too small, it will put a glass ceiling over your life and over your comeback. You start praying smaller prayers. You avoid taking risks. You dream man-sized dreams. You magnify your problems. You minimize your God. So here's a question. Do you need today to enlarge your vision of God? The name God gives to Moses is a name which shatters that glass ceiling. God says to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. This is a name that blows right through the glass ceiling, but when you first read it, you may be scratching your head and asking, what in the world does that mean? Scholars suggest that it's an indication of God's self-sufficiency, all-sufficiency. In other words, whatever his people need him to be, God says, I am. Whatever the need in his people is, God says, I am. If you need guidance, God says, I am the light of the world. If you need strength, God says, I am the bread of life. If you need protection, God says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. If you need a fresh start, he says, I am the bright and the morning star. If your dreams are dead and buried, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you're not sure you can finish what you start, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Whatever you need, God says, I am. Boy, enlarge your vision of God. Has something obscured your vision of God? Is your God too small? About every year or so, we experience a solar eclipse here in the Bay Area. It's a fascinating phenomenon. It's where the moon passes between us and the sun. And when it does, it seems like the moon and the sun are about the same size. But they're not really. The sun is 400 times bigger than the moon. But when the moon passes between us and the sun, boy, it diminishes our view. And the same thing can happen when you're facing a challenge or a difficulty or a struggle in your life. When that gets between you and your vision of God, and you're looking through God, you're looking at God through that struggle, the struggle can look big and your God can seem small. But today is the day to move that difficulty and that struggle and that challenge aside and get a vision of who God really is. He's infinitely bigger than anything you're facing, 400 times more. He is the great I am. Hear his voice today. Instead of looking at God through your problem, look at your problem through the amazing God we serve. Amen? I'm on my way back. Say it with me. I'm on my way back. I mean, Moses, God is with you. The great I am is with you. Are you ready to go? Well, he's got another question. What about them? So Moses says in Exodus 3, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? What if they reject me? Rejection is painful. What if they ignore me? Being ignored is painful. What if they diss me? I don't like being dissed. What if all that happens? I wonder if he was having PTSD because years ago he had tried to free the people. He had risen up, but nobody rallied around him. He was a miserable failure. And now the fear of failure is driving this question. The fear of failure is a very powerful thing. Have you ever tried something? If we were having coffee and you opened up a window into your soul and I asked you, have you ever tried something and failed and it was so painful you never wanted to try it again? You never wanted to risk that again. Have you ever received a rejection letter? I saw an elephant who received a rejection letter and it said, let me just lay here and wallow in my misery. Let me tell you about my rejection letter. Back when I was in college, I was, look at that, so long ago. I was just a baby back then. But back when I was in college, my best friend was gonna be the dorm director and he asked me if I would be the spiritual advisor or spiritual influencer over the dorm. And I said, sure, I'll do it. And my buddy said, you're an automatic shoo-in. Just fill out the application. You grew up in ministry. You're training for ministry. Your parents know the founder of the university. I mean, it's a done deal. Just fill in the app. I'll make sure we're good to go. And so I did. I filled out the app, started working on a plan for spiritual renewal, talked to others about what I would do when I took on this new role. And I got the letter back and it was a rejection letter. Denied. Someone asked me who it was that denied me. And I said, one day I'll tell you where the body is buried. But no, that's not happening. But when I was denied that, I gotta say at first I was angry and then I was embarrassed. And then I was ashamed. How's I gonna tell my dad? And I just felt like a loser. And you know, it's very easy in those moments to start to wonder, is this a sign that I'm pursuing the wrong calling? I mean, I'm not even able to have the chance to lead a group of people here spiritually, studying for being a pastor. Maybe that's not my calling after all. And if I would have let that take hold of my heart and put the dream in my heart on the shelf, I don't know where I'd be today. But thanks be to God, I learned from my dad that failure is not final. Say that with me. Failure is not final. Say it again. Failure is not final. And so, you know, I got out of the mud. I stopped wallowing, pursued my education. Doors opened up. And by the grace of God, I've been able to serve here for 44 years on the pastoral staff at Cathedral of Faith. And so, friend, don't let your past experience limit what you reach for in the future. You can make a comeback. You can. God answers Moses' question with a question of his own. He says, what is in your hand? And Moses says, well, I have this stick in my hand. That wouldn't seem to be much. I've got a stick in my hand, and I'm going after the Egyptian Empire. But when you take what you have and you offer it to God, with this stick, he would perform miracles. With this stick, he would part the Red Sea. With this stick, he would lead the people to the edge of the promised land. When you take what you have in your hand and you offer it to God, a boy who was getting ready to face a giant, what did he have in his hand? A stone. A stone doesn't seem like much, but when you offer what you have to God, it's enough to bring down a giant. A boy with a lunch in his hand, it doesn't seem like much. You got 5,000 hungry stomachs in front of you. It doesn't seem like much, but you take that lunch and you offer it to God, and pretty soon you're feeding the multitudes. See, a nail in someone's hand doesn't seem like it's worth very much, but when you take that nail and you offer it to God, it's enough to pay for the sins of the entire world. Amen. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Would you take what is in your hand and offer it to God? And God can take it and bless it, and you can be on your way to your comeback. I'm on my way back. Say it in faith. I'm on my way back. And that brings us to the last question. And the question is this. Moses asks, what about my handicap? What about my handicap? Moses says, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Now, what's interesting here is in Acts chapter 7, it says that Moses was a powerful speaker. So I'm not sure what had happened. Had he lost his ability or had he lost his confidence? Either way, God says to Moses, he says, who gave human beings their mouths? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. So what is the problem? What is the problem? Again, let's bring it home. Have you ever felt you didn't quite measure up, that for one reason or another, you see yourself handicapped, that you're too short or you're too tall, you're too thin or you're too heavy, you're too old or you're too young, you're not smart enough or athletic enough or not good looking enough or you're too good looking. That might be an issue too. You do not have the right color of skin or the right set of parents or the right combination of gifts or the right personality. Remember this. God is the one who made you. And it does not matter what you perceive your handicap to be. God can unleash his power through your weakness. He really can. One of the greatest examples of that is Nick Vujicic. He's been a guest at the church multiple times. He was born with no arms and legs. You probably know his story. He's inspired millions around the world with his talks and books. Now, it hasn't been easy because when he was young, he got so depressed and discouraged that he attempted to take his own life. But eventually, he saw how God could use him and his handicap to share the gospel around the world. In fact, it was not in spite of his handicap. It was because of his handicap he was able to have such a great impact. Listen to him describe his story.
At age 15, I read John chapter 9, a man was born blind, and no one knew why he was born that way. But Jesus said it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I realized, if God has a plan for a blind man, God's got a plan for me. It was the janitor at my high school. who saw me speak in front of my school peers as the vice president. Little did I know that I would be approached by the person cleaning the toilets at my school and looking me straight in the eyes and saying, "I heard you talk." I said, "Oh, cool." He said, "It was better than cool. You're going to be a worldwide speaker." He said, "You're going to go around the world and speak." And I said, "No way. You're crazy. What am I going to talk about?" "Your story." I'm like, "I don't have a story." He said, "Yes, you do." We had an arm wrestle about it. And a couple months later, he organized my first speech. And during that first speech, people were crying, thinking, "What's going on?" But little did I know that God could use me to talk about something I thought I never had. Hope. I could very well be someone that maybe one day shares my story with more people. He delights in using the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And I never imagined that God would take me to 78 countries, 3,500 speeches, 9.7 million people face to face, 1.2 million people gave their life to Jesus Christ, largest crowd, 800,000 people, 10 different governments I was able to address, and I've been on television to 2.8 billion people. People see me without arms and legs, but I don't represent limbless people. I represent healed, brokenhearted people. To let the brokenhearted know that you can be healed and you can be a miracle too. You know, I tell people, if God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then God can use any willing heart.
Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Perhaps the most encouraging thing about this whole story is that even though Moses drags his feet, God patiently, persistently will not let Moses give up on himself. God wouldn't give up on him, and he wouldn't let Moses give up on himself. Somebody needs to know that today. Father, I pray for all of us as we stand before you this week, and it's so easy, God, for us living in the world that we do, for our vision of you to shrink, for other things to be magnified. And today, God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see, that the eyes of our heart might see who you are, who you really are, that we would see our challenges and our difficulties through your greatness, because you are a magnificent God. You are a mighty God. You are an omnipotent God. You are an omnipresent God. You're an omniscient God. You're an eternal God. You are a faithful God. You are an awesome God. An awesome God.